Well, I appreciate you staying. I hope you didn't stay for me. I hope you stayed for the Lord, and I know you did. We want to worship Him and honor Him, and He is due all that we can possibly say in praise to Him. But I appreciate so much your being here today, and I count it a great privilege that anyone asked me to come and speak, and that anyone would come and look at me speak. I am very grateful and thankful and humbled by that, and I look forward to our time that we spend together. I'm already feeling really, really bad this week, especially as Steve gets up and mentions about the flights. I was supposed to be going with him. Joe was supposed to be going with them, but we chickened out. We're not going. But we pray that Steve and Tad have a very successful trip to Zimbabwe, and have appreciated the fact that Steve allowed me to tag along a couple of years ago and kind of turned my life upside down and in a good way. And I'm looking forward to being able to go back over there soon. But I know that you all have been very supportive of the brethren in Zimbabwe. Anderson also has joined in and helping brethren there, as well as a lot of brethren in lots of places helping, and that is a blessing. So we're talking about this theme this week about no one ever spoke like this man. Now, there's lots of things to choose from. There are many, many, many things that Jesus said that we could talk about. This morning, I've chosen to talk about a passage that is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 that you would be familiar with, is the idea of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is talking about prayer. And He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I think most all of us are familiar with that passage, and that you are familiar with that statement. This morning I want to talk to you about how that is an amazing statement that Jesus made there. The word hallowed is not a word that we use a lot today, unless we are quoting this passage. So I want to talk to you about that word hallowed today and what Jesus meant by that. The word means very simply to make holy or to sanctify. Now, we're familiar with those kinds of concepts of holy and sanctify. There are a number of passages that we could read, like in Isaiah 29, "They will sanctify my name and will stand in awe of the God of Israel." Psalms, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Now, I chose that passage because rather than exalt, to praise, the psalmist says to fear. Does fear, exalt, honor, have anything to do with hallowed be thy name? So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to specifically talk about the concept of respect and reverence. Steve and I have discussed it and talked a little bit about the fact that he as well likes to begin a meeting with talking about the idea of the appreciation that we should have for God, and honoring God, and appreciating who He is. It kind of sets the tone for the rest of the meeting that we understand that we're here to honor God, to appreciate God, to respect God, to reverence God. And yes, hallowed be thy name. When we look at the word respect, it is a word that simply means fear, terror, or reverence. Sometimes it might be said to appreciate or to admire or to honor. So if you respect God, then these kinds of things are there. But look at the idea of fear and terror and appreciate. Those really don't seem to be in the same ballpark, but they are. An antonym of this idea of respect would be disregard or to dishonor. So if we're going to talk about what we're doing in worshiping God, we are respecting God. We are in fear and terror and reverence of God. We appreciate, we admire Him, we honor Him, and we certainly do not want to disregard Him or dishonor Him in any way. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, here's a passage that talks about the idea of this respect that we're talking about. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. So what were they doing? They were going on in the fear of the Lord. That is appreciation, admiration, honor, respect for God. In the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 18, there is a quotation there that Paul uses from the book of Psalms, and he says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." Now, I think most of us would be quite familiar with the fact that we know lots of folks that don't fear God. They don't respect God. They don't appreciate God. And certainly, hallowed be thy name doesn't register with them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, we're talking about the same basic concept when the Apostle Paul said, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Remember that passage? Therefore, verse 11, he says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men." The first lesson we talked about, Jesus standing at the door and he knocks. And that gospel invitation that Jesus gives to all as he knocks on the door needs to be answered. I remember when my father used to talk to me or say something to me or ask me to do something, if I ignored him, there were great consequences. My dad was a strict disciplinarian. He didn't repeat himself. And if you asked why, there was none of an answer. God is to be respected. God is to be revered. And we persuade men because of the fear of the Lord. We appreciate Him. We fear Him. We respect Him. I think it's been kind of difficult sometimes for us to piece all of that together as the appropriate emotion. But in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Appreciate, respect, honor what you must do. So I'm making a note to myself to tell my deer stand and bear story to illustrate this point. So you go deer hunting in North Alabama. You're up in a stand. It's very early in the morning. You're still kind of half asleep. And you're sitting in that deer stand and you're waiting for that big, big rack to come walking down the path. And you're ready, and you're excited. and you're looking down the path, and you kind of, that's a bear. And bear are quite different than deer. They look different. But they are different. But this is not just a bear. This is a Kodiak bear. You familiar with Kodiak bear? Biggest bear there is. Humongous. Big as a Volkswagen. Now, I know I've lost half my audience. Nobody knows what a Volkswagen is. Big as a little car. And he's coming down this path. And you're looking close. Your heart is beating because you're wondering, what am I going to do now? Because you look close enough and that bear, he sees you and you see him. Now you've got your big Bowie knife at your side. You've got this big old gun. And you're thinking, I'm just going to shoot that bear. Then you're thinking, that'll probably just make him mad. Then I'm thinking, I tell you what, when he gets down here real close, I'm going to jump out of that tree, this tree, with my knife, and I'm going to cut his ears off. And you're thinking, no, I'm not going to do that. And as you're going through all of this thought process of this bear, let me ask you a question. Do you fear this bear? Do you appreciate this bear? Do you respect this bear? And what are you thinking? You know what a bear can do. You know what you can do. And you're thinking, I'm going to stay up in this tree. But then you think, bears can climb trees. You're thinking, how much higher can I go? So you're in a conundrum of trying to figure out what to do. Now, if you can relate to that in just any kind of small way, I think you have a beginning grasp of the word, hallowed be thy name. Appreciation for, great respect for, fear. You got it? Okay. Well, let's talk about another word. Let's talk about the word reverence. The word reverence would be this piety. This, again, fear of God. Respect. High regard. Great respect. Appreciation. Very much akin, but are not exactly the same two words. An antonym would be to scorn or to not take seriously. May I just say, have you ever come to worship God and not taken it seriously? Brother Calvert, you know, talked about during the Lord's Supper. We can be easily distracted. We can easily be focusing on things we should not be focusing on. I find myself, I'm sitting here, and I'm not thinking about the songs or the prayer or the Lord's Supper. You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about my sermon. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say and what I'm not going to say, how I'm going to say it, how long am I going to say it. You're thinking about how long I'm going to say it. Right? But yet we are to be here to worship and to reverence God. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, this word is used in this way by the Hebrew writer. In chapter 5 and verse 7, in the days of his flesh, when he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death and who was heard because of his piety. This is our word, reverence, fear of God. Did you know that Jesus Christ feared his Father? He respected his father. In chapter 11, verse 7, we learn something about Noah. The text says, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. So what Noah did, he was obedient to God when God told him to build the ark, and he did so out of piety. That is, the fear of God, respect, a high regard, a great respect, a great appreciation for who God is. And he certainly didn't want to scorn him or not take it seriously. One more story. Antique China. Anybody got that stuff? Where do you put antique china? I mean something that your grandmother had or your great-grandmother. Well, where do you put that stuff? Do you put it out where your children can play with it? Do you make the china accessible to your grandchildren to play with, play kitchen? I don't think so. I think we respect and appreciate greatly, have a high regard for this china. And we put it up high enough where little ones can't reach it, can't get to it. We probably even put it in a case of some kind and lock it. We don't want people getting in there messing with it. My wife, from time to time when she goes with me in gospel meetings, we'll go to a particular home and we'll be looking, you know, or sitting there and visiting and so forth. And my wife's attention usually goes right directly toward, you know, dishes like that and so forth. And I've seen her to go up to these things, and sometimes when they're not locked up, and she'll pick one up and my heart just sinks. I mean, it's just like, oh, baby, please put that up. Don't touch it. You know, because the lady of the house is saying, well, that was my great-grandmother who came over on the Ninta or Pinta or something, and, you know, and I'm like, oh, don't touch that thing, baby. Leave it alone. You'll drop it. Okay, you get any idea here? This is reverence. Respect and reverence, and the idea of hallowed be thy name, is the concept of having an appreciation for holy things. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, there is a passage that I'll just briefly refer you to that really does, I think, wind up being a great commentary about what I'm trying to explain to us today and about our appreciation and reverence for God. In Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 26, her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned, that is, to pollute or defile my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean, and they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. That's a pretty powerful passage. God just doesn't cut them any slack about what they've done that's wrong. So when I read that passage and I'm thinking about this concept, I'm wondering if we really have an appreciation of the holy things of God that we have set apart for God, to God, because of God. Our appreciation and our reverence. And as our Lord pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May I say this, God's name is hallowed. And he has great appreciation and respect and honor, regardless of what you do. God doesn't need your appreciation. But you need to appreciate God. I need to respect God, to know who he is. Someone has rightly said, and I believe it's absolutely true, You never really know for sure who you are until you know who God is. When you know who God is, you know exactly who you are. And I think that's true. So as we look at a few examples of this idea of a religious awe or a reverence for God, what about the Lord's Day? You know, the very expression, the Lord's Day. Whose day is this? The Lord's Day. Do we have a reverence for that? Do we have a respect for that? Do we have an appreciation for that? Do we have a fear for that? You see, your attitude about this day. This day is different than yesterday. This day is different than tomorrow. This is the Lord's day. Do we pollute it? Do we defile it? How would you do that? Our worship before God. We come together as God's people and we honor God. We reverence God. You got to be focused. I mentioned about Kentucky basketball, and I might mention that again because I like Kentucky basketball. But you know what really, 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 really makes me upset? Is here you have a blue chip, all-American kid who is playing for the University of Kentucky. He's a five-star player, and he comes up to the free throw, and he stands there, and then he shoots that ball, and he goes, plink! He doesn't get near making the shot. How does that happen? When you've got a premier basketball player who can't hit a free throw. What's your reasoning for that? I'll tell you what mine is. He ain't paying attention. He's not being respectful and honoring the situation. He's not into it. Maybe he hadn't practiced. Maybe he's not taking it seriously. Maybe he choked. When we come together as God's people, this is the time that you show some respect and appreciation for our God. There ain't anything more important. There's not anything more significant. It's not a time that you're looking at your phone and playing a game. I actually had at another place, another world, different planet. I was preaching, and after I preached, a little girl came up to me and said, my dad was playing a game on his phone while you were preaching. I don't know what prompted her to come up and tattle on him, throw him under the bus. I don't know why that was, but she did. And I found myself kind of like, okay. I didn't know how to respond to that. When God's word is being read, we're reading the very words of God. And Paul commended the brethren of Thessalonica in that they received not the word as if it was the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. Christ's kingdom. The very thing that we have the great and awesome privilege of being a part of. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. You and I are a part of something today that was planned by God before the foundations of the earth. We should show a little respect, a little appreciation. Hallowed be thy name. One of the parables of Jesus, he spoke of the rulers of his day, and I think he speaks of the rulers of our day. And in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, we'll not take the time to read all of that, but to simply say, there is the story of a wicked judge and a woman who keeps coming to him, petitioning him to help her. And the text says in verse 2, a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And it's repeated in verse 4, he says of himself, I do not fear God nor respect man. Does that sound like some rulers today? The same was true 2,000 years ago. As long as man has been on the earth and there have been rulers who did not respect and honor God. Isn't it wonderful though, whoever they might be, whatever political party, if they show some kind of decent respect and appreciation to God Almighty. Did you know that God pays attention to what rulers say and do? What we learn is that rulers in every soul is going to be judged. Our good and bad deeds. The fact that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Whatever Supreme Court justice, whatever congressman, senator, president, whomever, we're all going to give an account. And what will we give an account for? For our reverence and respect for God. Every careless word. Every careless word that we say. Have you ever said a careless word? Have you ever said a word that you wished you hadn't said? I'm not just necessarily talking about what we would call in Kentucky cussing or cursing or something foul or that is filthy. You know, sometimes I find myself, I get kind of into and emotional sometimes in preaching and I may say something that I wish I hadn't said. I do that. I'm not proud of that. But it happens. You say something that offends someone, that upsets someone, or hurts someone. It happens. At least it does to me. And I'm reminded of our Lord that we give an account for that. It does matter what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in tender love, so be careful, little mouth, what you say. We sing that, right? We sing that song. Is that true? Why? Because it's important to reverence, respect God. How we help each other. Matthew 25 is the judgment scene, right? The judgment scene. Notice here, it doesn't say anything about you prayed for someone. Don't misunderstand. Please, don't misunderstand. Don't go home and say, well, Salih, man, he's a terrible preacher. He said it doesn't matter if you pray for somebody. Yeah, it does matter. But did you notice in the text that it has all to do with what you've done? Did you visit me? Did you give me a drink of water? You see, that's all in the category of our respect and reverence and honoring God. Whatever God has said for us to do, to show Him respect, to fear God, we do that. I mentioned about my father, and I've said this before. I'm not sure everyone always gets it, but I'll say it again. When I was growing up and I was small, I thought my father was God. Because, you know, he spoke and the earth trembled. I trembled. I was in fear of him because he said do something. You know, it didn't take me very long to figure out when he said do something, how quickly I should do that. He taught me that. As we say in Kentucky, he learned me that. I'm not sure many people today understand and appreciate that when God says something, Do we take that seriously? We argue with that. We debate that. We have all kinds of challenges to that. It can really be summed up, this whole idea of hallowed be thy name, respect and reverence. Maybe from the book of Matthew, when Jesus was asked which is the first and great commandment. Remember that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbors yourself. Now all of this ties together because if you love God, Jesus said you'll keep His commandments. If you love God, you will respect and reverence and honor Him. If we are going to worship God in spirit and truth, we must have a fear and appreciation for God. And when we're worshiping God, we do so from deep within our soul. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. What a privilege it is to worship our God. We need to be teaching our children that respect and appreciation. And one of the greatest ways we do that is by example. The words must be spoken, but we must practice what we preach before our children. If we're ever going to teach our neighbor, they need to be able to see the respect and appreciation that we have for our God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's not just a little phrase that you say in praying to God. It's something that comes from your heart and how you really feel about it. Thank you for listening. I hope that as we continue to study this week about things that Jesus has said, we have a greater appreciation for who He is. And I hope and pray that you will be edified and encouraged to be obedient to Him. So this morning, have you obeyed the gospel? Here's a few notes that might help you, might encourage you to be obedient to Christ. My guess is there is water in the baptistry. There's probably clothes in the rooms, dressing rooms here. All things are ready. All things are prepared. And the question would be, do you believe in Him? Do you respect Him? Do you appreciate Him? And may I say, you can't really respect and appreciate God if you don't obey Him. Won't you become a Christian today? Why won't you obey Christ and have every sin washed away? You have a wonderful privilege and opportunity today. Are you a child of God, but you haven't really been honoring and respecting God like you should? Then you need to make that right. Maybe it's private. Pray God privately. As a Christian, you can do that. If you need the prayers of the brethren here, there are good brethren here who will pray with you and pray for you. And if you're a child of God and you're doing the best you can and you're respecting God and you're honoring God and you're doing your best to fear Him and to walk in His ways, then God bless you. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Because our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, must be our attitude that we have as we live this life. What powerful words our Lord spoke. So if we can help in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?